The Blurred Truth Insider Update.
There's a scary website that you may want to check out if you have the guts to do it. Zetatalk.com. Zetatalk.com. It's hosted by a remarkable woman by the name of Nancy Leader. Now, the subject of the website is something we have delved in before here on The Blurred Truth, Planet X. Now, it was predicted to wreak havoc on Earth back in 2003 with Earth changes and earthquakes and destruction of our very way of life, but it never happened. Nancy's going to explain why shortly, but Nancy speaks for a race of aliens who call Zeta Reticuli home. She's been in contact with them since she was a child through brain implants and the honing of her telepathic skills. And Nancy's on Skype this evening. Welcome, Nancy. Look, tell us first, who are the Zetas? What's their story?
Yeah, they come from the constellation Zeta Reticuli, which has numerous planets with life-bearing planets. And actually, their suns are not even visible to us. They're the dim suns. But they're one of over 1,000 different life forms that are in attendance of the Earth at this time. They've come to help with the Earth's transformation through geological changes and through a spiritual transformation where we're no longer going to be the kindergarten. We're going to graduate, but our bad guys are going to be hauled away to a prison planet, and only the good guys are going to be allowed to reincarnate here on Earth. So I wanted to be a communicator in my lifetime because reincarnation does exist. Even before birth, I asked for this. And they got behind me, and it was a big success, more so than we all expected. So Zeta Talk is known around the world. It's being translated into some 21 different languages. And it's taken off all by itself because it has that ring of truth. They are warning about the geological changes where the governments are not telling you the honest truth about why our weather is so weird and volcanoes and earthquakes and the like, and what those things are that we see when we look in the direction of the sun, what we're seeing, the lights and the odd neon clouds and the like, and the swirls in the sky. They're telling us the truth and making predictions about geological changes that are remarkable. The only such predictions in the world and are coming true. So that people take this seriously because there is a gigantic cover-up about what's in front of us.
All right, Nancy, well, I've got to ask, who are the bad guys? If the Zetas are the good guys, who are the blokes doing the wrong thing?
It separates out into what they call service to other and service to self. Service to other is where most people are going, most humans and most life-bearing planets. 95% in general of the souls that develop there become the good guys where there's empathy and they care about each other. That doesn't mean the good guys don't argue. They don't have differences of opinion. They do. But the 5% that grow in the other direction, they stay immature. They think only of themselves, self-centered. They become greedy, control freaks, power mongers, even sadists. These are terms, service to self. They're thinking about themselves all the time. Even while they're smiling and patting you on the shoulder, they're putting the knife in between your shoulders. So service to self. Many politicians, many people who run companies, many wealthy people are these. Everybody knows this type of person. They're always saying what's in it for me and trying to manipulate, and they don't really care what happens to other people. Those are the bad guys. And alien visitors, 5% or so, are the bad guys. But there are rules of contact. This is a kindergarten. They just camp down and have at us the way they want. There are rules that allow psychological counseling, you know, spiritual counseling, but they can't manipulate you. They can't affect you. They can't mass land and colonize, etc. That's forbidden, no matter what people say. Those movies, that's Hollywood. That doesn't happen.
So, Nancy, are there alien bad guys? I mean, we know there are bad people. I mean, take a look at some of the governments around the world, especially, say, North Korea, or even what's going on in the United States. But are there evil aliens?
They're not a race. Then in every world that develops and sparks souls, as ours did, approximately 5% end up being the bad guys. So every life form in the universe, and believe me, it gets weird, hominoids are very, very small percentage, and there's bird creatures and fish creatures, jellyfish and snakes and gigantic amoebas. I've met a lot of these. Hominoids are the minority, despite what Star Trek will tell you, that except for a more wrinkly forehead or something, that's what aliens look like. Not so. So they're not reptilians. 95% good guys. Humans, 95% good guys, etc. So it's not a particular race or a name of a race. It's intrinsic in the universe that developing souls, a certain percentage stay immature and remain very selfish. And those are the bad guys because they don't care what happens to other people. And they're just out for themselves.
Nancy, tell us about the UFOs. I mean, the ones we see in the skies, the sightings. There's so many pictures now. There's so many videos of UFOs being seen. There seems to be a really big uptick in the amount we're seeing. Who's in them?
This is the 1,000 different life forms, you know, that are in attendance on Earth. For instance, crop circles are laid down by water creatures that are in spaceships filled with water. And they don't deal so well with contact because people tend to get upset. You know, so their role is not to discuss things with humans that want contact so much as it might be the Nordics or the Pleiadians or the Thetas or something more hominoid looking. They're specialists. I've noticed different similarities in UFO incidences. There was one in Guadalajara and over in Germany. It was the same sort of thing where a laser light went straight down to the ground, pointing at a particular position. And I thought, boy, that's the same crew, you know, and others do different kinds of dances. So they are issuing telepathic warnings to the people underneath about what's going to happen in that locale during the pole shift, what geological changes are going to affect their area as we move into the pole shift itself, which is a crustal shift. 90-degree shift, magnitude 9 everywhere on the globe, big tidal waves up to 500-600 feet on the shores as the water seems to slosh back and forth. You know, water doesn't travel with the globe. The globe moves, the water stays there, and then it sloshes to find its level. So they're issuing telepathic warnings to people. Notice how they're suddenly not swamp gas or weather balloons anymore. They're mass sightings. They're appearing on videos. People are catching them all over the world. It's called the awakening, the pace of the awakening. And captures of alien bodies on video, et cetera, are starting. Most, I think, 90 or more percent is just fraud that we get on the internet. But there was one out west where a guy had set up a camera to catch a peeping Tom that was peeking at his daughters. And that was a real alien capture on video.
Nancy, a lot of people now have seen that movie 2012, and it has sort of introduced us to this scientist fellow, this Charles Hapgood, and his theories on magnetic shifts and crustal shifts. Now, the way I understand it, and maybe you can correct me, magnetic shifts are those that you can't see, whereas crustal shifts are obviously, you know, there's evidence. You can feel it happening.
No, actually, a magnetic shift, people claim that because they don't want to think about the crust shifting. But it's the opposite. How could this have happened? It must have been, you know, like Stearns Mountain, you know, where they recorded a magnetic, the North Pole moving within a period of an hour as it was recorded in hardened lava. But in fact, the ice ages are one. The last ice age over France, at that same time, the woolly mammoth was grazing in Siberia, which is now frozen, at the same latitude. Well, what did the sun do? Blink off when it was over France and blink back on over Siberia to make it extra warm? Greenland was our last North Pole. That's why it has so much ice. You know, there's all kinds of records of 3,500 years ago, you know, when Nibiru comes through last time, the waters of the oceans dropped 16 to 20 feet around the world at the same time.
And where'd all that water go, Nancy?
Right. And that's the point is, obviously, there was renting a part of the continents and deeper rifts and that type of thing. So there's all kinds of evidence of physical geological changes. I've just mentioned a few. I could go on for hours. And they're well recorded. Bilikowski did an excellent job, Earth in a People. Read that book. You will be convinced.
Let's talk about Nibiru or Planet X, Nancy. Now, you predicted on the Zeta Talk website that it was going to show up in 2003, but it didn't really happen, did it?
It did. It didn't go through. It came in. And it's creeping past the sun. And the Zetas admitted that was a deliberate white lie. We tracked it in 2001 and 2 and 3. The Zetas gave us where to look out in the sky. They gave us the Ra and Dek, and people, a team, tracked it. I mean, people went to observatories in the winter of 2001 to 2. They went and they captured an infrared and in 2 to 3, and in this, and also a CCD imaging, where every 2-3 weeks or so, they would take a set of images, maybe even weekly. And this FITS files are still out there. People can track. It was like a dim star and fuzzy light around it, and it was moving in accordance with the Zeta coordinates. It would be gone from where it was, and now it's where it should have moved to. And then it appeared in the spring of 2003. I myself saw it. And March 26th, I will never forget, came home from a meeting, looked out in the direction to the right of Orion, and this is not that one bright reddish kind of star that was visible too, but it would glow and then, you know, and people around the world all saw it and recorded this, started taking pictures. And ever since, now around the sun, you can get it on SOHO and stereo images. And people are, I mean, this is so analyzed on the Pole Shift Ning and on my website, SOHO Says So, I have it. You know, that it's unquestionably between us and the sun. It's around the sun. It came in 2003, crossed over our orbit, so now we have to look at the sun to see it. And it's been creeping past the sun, getting ready. Now it's on its outbound, and that's where the pole shift happens. We're in big trouble.
That's right, Nancy. Another website to check out is the poleshift.ning, apart from zetatalk.com. And you can see all sorts of people posting things about the sightings of Planet X and its moons. And that's the question I have to ask. Nibiru, Planet X, is it a brown dwarf or is it a planet that orbits a brown dwarf along with seven other planets? Is that what's happening?
You know, there's a huge amount of confusion about this and on purpose, because the powers that be would like you to be confused. So that when you type in Nibiru or Planet X into a search engine, you get such a plethora of garbage, you know, and the main thing is they're pointing out into the night sky and saying it may be inbound and denying that it came in 2003. But that's what's causing our weird weather, our magnetic twisting and turning, which I can go into, and all the sightings that I've been talking about. It's actually, our sun has a binary. It's 18.74 sun-Pluto distances away in the direction of Orion. It's a dark, unlit sun. And therefore, instead of the planets around our sun that go round and around, Nibiru is on a sling orbit, like it goes pendulum. It goes out past that dark twin, back past our sun, out again past that dark twin. It's more like a train track going back and forth than it is an oval or a circular orbit. So Nibiru is what the Zetas call a brown dwarf for lack of anything else to call it. It's 4 times the diameter of Earth, 23 times the mass. It smolders and it emits light as well as heat. We emit heat, but not light. But in the deep rifts of its ocean, it emits light, which bounces back from the clouds, and so their planet is little and has transplanted hominoids, just as Earth has hominoids that have been genetically engineered. These hominoids on Nibiru are the giants of old, the gods of Mount Olympus, the Visigoths, those Easter Island heads, the ones that built the pyramids, etc., and mined for gold, and they're no longer interested in Earth because of the messy humans and the large predators we have here. They're rather mined elsewhere in our solar system. So I'm digressing. Nibiru has a huge red dust cloud, which it collected this stuff when it used to go through the asteroid belt, and our sun was more massive, and there is an anti-gravity force and kept it out there. Pummeled to pieces numerous small planets that were in the asteroid belt, and all that red dust, iron oxide, collected because Planet X is a magnet, as is Earth, and it's a charged dust cloud. The red dust in Revelations, the red dust during the Jewish Exodus, where Moses touched his staff down, blood red, etc. We're going to have that for the pole shift coming, too. It has at least two dozen moons, the size of our moon, that trail behind it, but they don't go round and around Nibiru. They trail behind it, because Nibiru is always on the move in this swing orbit, right? So they can't get to going round and around, and they twirl around themselves. So from the sides, moon swirls look like long tubes. But from the front, they ought, if the sun is here, and I'm pointing at you, this moon swirl, it funnels the light, so it's like a flashlight, and people are seeing these bright orbs around the sun. That's the moon swirls focusing the light.
I know, it all sounds disturbing, and maybe you're finding it hard to believe. Seriously, check out zetatalk.com, ZETA talk.com, or go to the poleshift.ning and have a look for yourself. More of Nancy Leader, channeling the Zetas, next.